If I was going to search for a job, I would begin my search by looking at, well, where are my gifts and skills and talents going to be used? But then I'm going to start looking at, well, the various benefits that each of the employers are going to offer. I have many children, so I'd like a good insurance program. I mean, I want to have a good retirement program. If I'm going to shop around for a job, then I want to make sure that the benefits will suit exactly what I need. Now, wait just a moment. What if I'm searching around for a God? What if I'm asking the question, who am I? Where did I come from? What's my purpose in life? And I begin to search, I begin to shop, and I'm looking for a God. I want to find the God with the greatest benefits. Now, if I go to the Muslim God and I might discover, well, I don't know if I'll get heaven. My good works have to outweigh my bad works. And I've got to, don't know when I die whether I'll go to heaven or not. Well, maybe I'll go the Hindu route and I'll search up the Hindu God. Well, I don't know how many times I want to come back. I don't know how many times I'm going to have to pay a price in karma. I want to get to nirvana quick, man. No, this Hindu God's not going to do either. What about the Christian God? And if I shop around and I see the Christian God, maybe I might find, and I think that I will, in fact, I know that I will, that I can be assured of salvation, that when I die, I'm going to be ushered into eternity because of what Jesus Christ has done for me. I want the God with the greatest benefits. You see, the psalmist, he wrote this, listen carefully, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Now, I think it's very unfortunate that the church has not done a good job of communicating all the benefits of God. I mean, 2,000 years of church history. And I think, unfortunately, we may be looked on as the world, maybe more as the moral police, instead of communicating all of the incredible benefits of God. And maybe if you're listening, I need to apologize. I need to apologize for the church, for the way that we've expressed God to you. Sometimes, listen, we're just overzealous. We're overzealous because we want to follow the principles, but we don't want to put them on the world. Instead, we want to love God. Sinners. Now listen, as the church, surely there are principles that govern our lives. There are things that we must follow. There are things that we must be able to understand. There are principles and precepts that we must choose to live by. But the very essence of these principles is one thing. God is love. Let me ask this question. Was not his love unconditionally displayed with Matthew and the tax collectors when he went and he was amongst sinners? Or what about the Samaritan woman who he was not supposed to be speaking to, this woman who had five husbands, or maybe it's the thief on the cross, or quite possibly it's the very Pharisees who would crucify him, he would pronounce, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. You see, in this love, does he not desire for us to have an abundant life? A life filled with joy, the benefits of love, the benefits of peace, despite whatever circumstances we're going through. Our God, the Christian God, oh, his benefits. Bless the Lord, oh, my soul. You see, we've got to be careful that we don't develop a faith that's based on our performance. In other words, we've got to be able to perform in order for God to do anything for us. No, listen, God is love, and we're dependent on his love, and that's exactly what Joshua 21 reveals to us. Joshua 21 reveals that the love of God provides, and through this love, we have such incredible benefits afforded to every believer. Take a look at Joshua chapter 21. Joshua chapter 21, verse 1. Then the heads of the fathers' houses of the Levites came near to Eleazar the priest, to Joshua the son of Nun, and to the heads of the fathers' houses of the tribes of the children of Israel. And they spoke to them at Shiloh in the land of Canaan, saying, the Lord commanded through Moses to give us cities to dwell in with their common lands for our livestock. The Levites. Now, I don't know if you know about the Levites. I want to kind of catch you up to speed. It goes all the way back to Brother Levi. You see, Brother Levi, he was a very, very zealous young man. So much so, listen to what happened. Jacob, he kind of planted his family around this town called Shechem. Well, his daughter, Dinah, well, she was taken advantage of by the king's son, Hamor. Well, Hamor wanted to marry Dinah instead of the disgrace that was on her. So he came to Jacob and said, I'd like to marry your daughter. Well, the sons of Jacob, they came up with an incredible plan. Look, if you want to marry into our family, all of you have got to get circumcised. So in love Hamor was with Dinah, the Bible says he immediately did it. And then he went to the other guys in the town and said, look, all of you guys need to get circumcised in Shechem. Now, I don't know how in the world he convinced these guys to do this, but he did. And the word of God says, on the third day when they were healing in the most pain, Simeon and Levi went into the town and killed all of the men, all of them. Jacob was furious. He couldn't believe what they did. His father, they couldn't believe what Levi and Simeon would do to these men. And so when Jacob was dying, he cursed Simeon. He cursed Levi. And he said to them, listen, I got to tell you, you are going to be scattered amongst all of Israel. But I love the love of God. There's a moment many hundreds of years later, this same tribe of Levi, you see Moses, he would be coming down from the mountain. Aaron, he would build a golden calf, and all the children of Israel would be worshiping this golden calf. They thought the golden calf God, oh, he provided much more benefits, but God, he sends Moses down, and Moses comes and he sees them worshiping, and he says, who's for God? And the Levites said, we're for God. We know the effects of sin. We've made the mistake, and we're not going the way of sin again. And the Levites went with Moses, and they purified the entire camp, and God redeemed Levi that day, so much so that Levi, so redeemed, was given a promise because of the love of God that they would be the ones responsible for the temple, that they would be the ones that would carry the priesthood, that they would be the ones that would have the opportunity to serve God in the tabernacle. They were given the privilege of being called a special people. See, it's much like the church. Listen, I'll read it for you. You don't need to turn there. It's 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. But you, speaking to the church, you're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. You've been chosen. You're the priesthood. You've been called out of darkness, where tonight, last week, and every week here at Lift, we start with praise and worship to our God because he's redeemed us by his love. And the same as the Levites. Moses would tell them, you're not getting any land. Joshua would tell them three times, you're not going to get any land because you are the Lord's portion and God has a special inheritance just for you. And church, listen, you have a special inheritance. If you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you have a special inheritance. We call it eternal life. You've been called out of darkness. And let me express to you, until that time when we see Jesus Christ face to face, you as the church have the most incredible benefits. In fact, the benefits of God and his love are out of this world. If you're taking note, let's take a look at the first one. Joshua, who's representing our Jesus, we see that the Levites came near to Eleazar in verse 1, the priest, to Joshua the son of Nun, and they spoke to them. Take a look at verse 2. The Lord commanded through Moses to give us cities to dwell in with their common lands for our livestock. Now remember, Joshua, he's our Jesus. He's representing for us as we walk through our promised land. Joshua is our Yeshua. He's our Jesus. He's our representation throughout the course of this book and the course of our progress, our journey of life. Now listen to what he says. They go to Joshua. They went to Joshua to ask for the land. Now let me express something to you. The land was already promised in Numbers chapter 35. The land was already given to the Levites, but they had to go to Joshua and ask them. Let me tell you one of the most incredible benefits that we have. We can talk to the Almighty God. talk to him. We call it prayer. The Bible says that his ear, it's attentive. The Bible says that his arm, it's not too far, that it cannot reach and touch. The Bible says that when we call to him, he will answer us. In fact, the word of God says that we can boldly go into the throne. Now, Zach and I, we are best friends. He's my brother, not just in the Lord, but truly just a brother. And I go over to their house, and let me tell you what I do. When I walk in that house, I simply open the fridge and I take whatever in the fridge. And Audrey looked at me one day and I go, I'm sorry, I always do this. I come to your house, I go in the fridge. And she said to me, Audrey, his wife, she said, I think it's great. You're family. And I love the fact that you can come into my fridge, into my home, and then go into my fridge and eat all my food. I'm like, are you really happy? Because I'd like another muffin. So here's the deal. Because we're so close, they love when I come boldly into their home because we have real relationship. In fact, when Jesus was speaking about prayer, he said this, when you pray, in other words, it's not an option. When you pray, I want you to go into your room. In the Church of the United States of America, I feel that prayer is the most written about and the most talked about and the least accomplished in the church. He says, when you pray, I want you to go in your room and I want you to shut the door. I want alone time with you. I'm your friend. I want to spend time with you. I want you to put all of your distractions away. I want you to connect with me, the living God. And then he says this, when you come to me, shut your door, but don't use vain repetitions. I love when people pray. Listen, Lord God, we just want to thank you, Lord God, for the day, Lord God, that you've given us, Lord God. Lord God, we just bless you, Lord God, for Lord God, we just love you, Lord God. And Lord God, we just love, thank you, Lord God, and Lord God. Imagine I walked up to my wife, Andrea. I, Andrea, love you, Andrea, and Andrea. Could you, Andrea, please go to the store, Andrea, and get some Andrea milk for me, Andrea. Thank you, Andrea. I'm really grateful, Andrea, that you, Andrea, would Andrea do this for me, Andrea. Thank you, Andrea. She would look at me and she goes, what, are you crazy? But how many of us do that because we're not used to intimate relationship with God, that when we go to him, we get lost in what we're supposed to say. And so instead of saying, we go, Lord God, Lord God, Lord God, Lord God, amen. Now, I'm not saying that is wrong, but I am saying be careful that our relationship is determined by the vain repetitions that we pray. Listen, one day I was praying. I was getting ready to go on a hike. And I was going to hike from Montana to Canada over an 8,000-foot mountain with an 80-pound pack. Yeah, hoorah. Listen, I start out with prayer. And I said, Lord Jesus, I want to thank you for this day. And I stopped. And I said, you guys, I was just about to lie to God. I am not thankful for this day. I do not want to climb up this mountain. I don't want this 80-pound back on my back. But listen to what happens. We're so used to saying, Lord, thank you for this day. Are you really thankful for the day? Or is it just a vain repetition? Jesus, when he was teaching on prayer, he said this, say to the mountain, be removed. This is a proclamation of faith in prayer that you leave in the Lord's hands and you say, God, I'm going to speak faith into this, but I'm going to leave it in your hands and you can do with it whatever you want to do with it. But we have to ask and we have access. That's one of the greatest benefits we have. We can talk to the living God. In fact, listen to what James says. We have not because we ask not. Are you taking advantage of the access? Or would you tonight for the first time like to have access? So we're going to do something a little bit different. I want you to find a group of two or three people. Just find two or three people, a little different tonight. We're going to mix it up a little bit at Lyft. And here's what we're going to do. We're going to pray. And I want you to speak to, and I want you to speak into, and I want you to listen, and I want you to intently pray. Listen, only for a few minutes, I want you to find two or three people. We're going to lead in prayer. We want you to be in prayer because I want to let you know something. If I'm praying and you're praying, God hears both prayers. He won't be confused. Trust me. Now listen, we don't want you to get all loud and carried away. We want you to remain in that holy place of sanctified kind of prayer. But we want you to real quickly find two or three people, and we're going to begin to pray. Go ahead. Find a couple of people. And we're going to go and use the opportunity that we have to have access to God. one of the greatest benefits we have. Now, listen, I'm going to pray, you're going to pray, and let's go to God. Our Father, we are so thankful that we can come to you. And I know here in a body this size with this many people, there are those with needs. And I pray now, Lord Jesus, that as they pray, that you would give them the desires of their heart. Now, here's what I want you to do. You guys can be praying. You guys join in your group and you be in prayer as I'm in prayer. And if you have a need tonight and you're on my left, would you just raise your hand and say, Pastor, pray for me? If you have a need tonight, just raise your hand. I want to pray for you guys. And so, Lord, I pray for those whose hands are raised. And I ask in Jesus' name that you would meet their needs. And on my right, if there's someone that has a need, would you just raise your hand and say, yeah, that's me. I want you to pray for me. And Lord, I come before you in Jesus' name. And I ask God that you would meet their needs. You go ahead and you pray. And so, Father, we come before you and we ask, Lord, as your people, that you would fill us with the power of your Spirit. For there are many that are hurting. There are many that are tired. There are many that have grown weary. Lord, there are some that don't even know you, and I pray that your Spirit would begin to knock on their heart and that you would see them come to salvation. Father, I pray for those that don't have jobs, that you would be their provision. Supernaturally, Lord, provide for them. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus for those that are trying to get pregnant, that you would bless them with a child. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus that those that are depressed, filled with anxiety, Lord, that you would give them your peace, that you would give them your comfort. Lord God, that you would do your work in their life. Father, fill them with your Spirit. Let them know your love. Let them know your joy. Let them know your peace. Lord, I pray for those that are listening on the radio or even listening on the internet. I'm humbly asking you in Jesus' name that you would speak to them a word that will change their life, a word that would do something for them that they know that you have answered their prayer. Father, we come to you in Jesus' name.
Father, we come before you humbled. Lord, we've gone through life and we've tried and we've given our all, and yet sometimes we still come up short. We still come up struggling. Lord, I pray that you would have mercy on your people. Lord, we look throughout history at the cycle, the endless cycle of what your people have faced in running to you and worshiping you and then going their own way. God, for any who are here tonight who have gone their own way, who have moved to a place of making decisions for themselves, Lord, I pray that you would draw them near to you. Lord, would you begin a revival in the hearts, in our hearts? God, for every person here who's fighting, who's struggling, Lord, would you just revive their heart? Would you just, a new birth, would it spring forth in their heart? The hearts that are stone, God, would you turn them to hearts of flesh? Would you soften the fallow ground? Would you break it up? God, I pray that your word would take root deeply. Lord, not just for ourselves. We know that we need you. But God, there's a world that's hurting, that's dying, that's in need of people to come and to show them that there's a better way, that there's a God who cares, who loves, who will intercede on our behalf. And Lord, I pray that you would make us those people, that you would make us those ambassadors. Lord, would you revive our hearts that we can bring revival to others? God, we can't do this in our flesh. Would you pour out grace on us? Would you pour out mercy on us? God, not for anything that we've done that we would attain the right to even be called your children, much less your ambassadors, but you've called us your own. Lord, would you give us the power of your Spirit to go out and to be a light, to be salt, to be a difference? Lord, this world needs to see a difference. Would you fill us? Would you change us? Would you make us those men and women for your glory?
And Heavenly Father, we lift up this community to you. We thank you for Costa Mesa. We thank you for Santa Ana and Huntington Beach and Fountain Valley and Westminster. We thank you for Irvine, Lord. We thank you that the work that you began here so many years ago, Lord, that your heart is compassionate and long-suffering, and you want to do a great revival work again. And so we say, Lord, come. Father, pour out your spirit. We look to the hills from where does our help come from. Our help comes from the Lord. And so we raise our banner right now. Jehovah Nissi, we call upon your name, Jesus, and we need you, Lord. Without you, we have nothing. But we know in John 14:14, it says that if we pray anything in Jesus' name, you would do it, that the Father would be glorified in the Son. And so we pray for this community. We pray for our elementary schools. We pray for our high schools, our junior highs, that you would continue to work there, that you would raise up a Joshua generation. You said, have I not commanded you? Do not be afraid or dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you, and that the fervent, effective prayers of righteous men and women availeth much. And so, Lord, pour out the latter rain on this community. Lord, 60 years ago, you did a radical work right here at Costa Mesa, and we say that you do it again. We ask, Lord, and we plead with you that you would pour out your spirit on this community. We pray for our local police department. We pray for our local firemen and our local hospitals, Father, that those would be breathing grounds for the gospel. Father, there would be revival not only in our churches but in our community, from the beaches to the mountains. Lord, from the deserts to the jungles. Lord, from the forest, from coast to coast, from San Diego and Mexico to Canada, that you would just release a work, a mighty move of your spirit that begins, Lord, right here, use us. Your eyes go to and fro all over the earth to see whose heart is faithful towards you, Lord. And we're saying, now come. Lord, we ask you, move in this community, move in this sanctuary. We lift up the name of Jesus. We ask that you would heal the brokenhearted. Lord, pour out vision tonight. Meet every single one of us in the night tonight. Pour out dreams and visions and prophecy and heal, Lord. We pray that you would heal. In Jesus' name we pray and we say amen.
Amen and amen. Amen. How does that feel? About 6 minutes of prayer. The longest prayer in the Bible read is about 5 or 6 minutes. The shortest prayer, Nehemiah. The king asked, he bowed, and he answered. Listen, was it uncomfortable? Do you recognize one of the greatest benefits that we have is that we get to go to God in prayer? We get access to the creator of the heavens and the earth. Listen, the Levites, you have to understand something. The land was for them, but they had to ask. And is it quite possible that God's not answering because you haven't asked? Thank you, Chaz. Secondly, listen carefully. It's Joshua chapter 21. We see all the land been given to the Levites. But now in verse 43, I want you to see something. So the Lord gave to Israel all the land of which he had sworn to give to their fathers, and they took possession of it and dwelt in it. I want you to write this down in your notes. Listen carefully. God is faithful to his word despite us. The Lord gave the land just as he said that he would. Now listen, 40 years earlier, I wonder if the 10 spies who said, don't go into the land. It's filled with giants. Don't go into the land. We can't conquer them. I wonder if those 10 spies who forfeited the opportunity to go into the promised land, I wonder if those 10 spies are rolling over in their graves. You see, in Hebrews chapter 3, the Bible says they didn't go in because of unbelief. And just a little bit later in Hebrews, the Bible says that God cannot lie. Therefore, if God told them that the promised land was for them, it was for them, because whatever God says, it's true. Now, sometimes some things that God says, it's hard to believe. Sometimes he might communicate something to you that you just don't understand, and you're wondering, God, really, will you be that faithful? And you might even get filled with doubt or dismay. But listen, God is faithful to his word. If he said it, you can believe it. Sometimes, listen, church, there was a father And this father, he took his son to the disciples. They couldn't do anything. He was discouraged. He was dismayed. He was in despair. And he looked at Jesus and he said to him, "Can you do anything?" And Jesus said, "All things are possible to him who believes." And the man quite honestly said to Jesus, "I believe. Help my unbelief. I'm struggling right now. And I want to be faithful because you are faithful. But let me assure you, the enemy wants to rip you off. Just like he ripped off the 10 spies. He lied to them. He deceived them. He didn't tell them the truth. And he ripped them off from the abundant life that God had for them. And the enemy, he hasn't changed his tactics. He's still doing the same thing today. Listen, it's Hebrews chapter 11. I'll read it for you in verse 6. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. "But without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him." God wants us to be faithful because God wants us to reward us. But listen, faith pleases God. And that's why the enemy hates it. That's why he comes against you. That's why we've got to trust the truth of Scripture and be on our guard against the attack of the enemy. Now, let me tell you, I call them the three deadly D's. One, deceit. He lies to you. Did God really say? If that doesn't work, oh, he comes to you and he discourages you. And he tries to bring you down. And if that doesn't work, oh, what he chooses to do is take you into depression. There is no God. He's left you. You see, all of these are his lies and his deceit in order to move you away from the truth that God is faithful to his promises. You've got to be careful you don't knock yourself out just like the spies did. Listen, I used to watch the MMA. I'm sorry, I know my sons, we all loved it. Six of us, we just sit there and watch people get pounded. Well, just imagine you go into the octagon and you see your enemy and he's coming right for you. And instead of even engaging in the battle, you take your fist and knock yourself out. That would be ridiculous. And you go flat on the ground and they do a TKO right there because you purpose to knock yourself out. That's not that smart. Why knock yourself out of the race? Why not enjoy the abundant life and all the benefits that God has? And when he speaks to you a word of faith, choose to trust that that word is for you. This is our faith. But listen, not only is God faithful, even when we are faithless. The Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 2 that God is faithful. He will not deny himself. Even though we may be faithless, God will remain faithful. Don't knock yourself out. Trust me. When God said they're going into the land, they went in. Now they had to wait because of unbelief. Don't stop God from working in your own life. Number three, if you're taking note, listen, it's the third benefit that we have. Take a look, if you would, at Joshua chapter 21, verse 44. "The Lord gave them rest all around, according to all that he had sworn to their fathers, and not a man of all their enemies stood against them. The Lord delivered all their enemies into their hand." If you're taking note, one of the greatest benefits we have with God, we have peace and we have power. In John chapter 14, verse 27, listen to what Jesus said. "Peace, I leave you. Peace, I leave you." You see, you can't doubt whether or not he's given you peace. His word says, "Peace, I leave you." If you're not at peace, it's a lie from the enemy. Listen, he calls himself the Prince of Peace. Now, if you don't know what that means he governs peace, he manages peace, and he says, "I'm giving it to you." So if you're not in it, you've got to find out what's wrong. And so Paul tells us in Philippians chapter 4, don't be anxious for anything, but pray. And the peace of God that transcends understanding will fill your hearts and mind in Christ Jesus. You see, something should happen in our life. When we get anxious, we should run to God in prayer. I'll never forget, it was just several years ago, actually. I'd take a group of missionaries to Liberia, and we were going to do a pastor's conference. What I didn't know is that war was going to break out 24 hours after we landed. So here I am with these greenhorns who've never been on the mission field and one of them had, but the other three hadn't, and they're never been on the mission field. They'd never been through war, and now I'm dealing with this thing. Well, we wanted to go to a special church that was behind the lines. It was in rebel territory. So I began to train them and say to them, look, if we still want to go, you can go out if you don't, but if you want to go, there's some things that you need to know. So I told them, listen, number one, don't ever get out of the car. No matter what, when we get to a rebel checkpoint, don't ever get out of the car and don't say a word. They can't understand you. You can't understand them. There's no sense to speak to them. In fact, listen, one time I had a missionary, he walked up to one of the soldiers and the soldier asked him, who are you? The missionary said, I'm a missionary. And the soldier said, a mercenary? And the missionary said, yes, I'm a missionary. We got beat on the head, put in the sun, and jailed for 4 hours. So I'd always tell missionaries, don't say a word. Well, I said to them, listen, don't get out of the car, don't say a word, but if they take you out of the car and they begin to take you behind a building, you're done. Well, we get to a rebel checkpoint, and they come up to me, and they knew me, cello, cello, cello. They said, get out of the car. I go, I'm not getting out of the car. He put an M16 to my head, and he said, get out of the car. I said, okay, I'm coming out of the car. Now, I come around the front of the car and I turn around like this and they're taking me behind the building. Well, one of the girls that's with me, all she knows is don't get out of the car and don't go behind the building because you're done. So all of a sudden, as loud as she could, she broke out in prayer and tongues. She just started going off. She was praying as loud as day and everyone's listening and I'm behind the building. And the rebel soldier looks at me and he goes, who's making all that noise? I go, dude. She's talking to God. If you don't let me go back in that car, I can't assure what will happen to you next. He got so afraid because she was talking so loud. He escorted me back to the car, opened the door, and apologized to her. Listen. We have access to God that when we get anxious, it should be the very first sign that takes us to the place of prayer because God will give us a peace that passes understanding despite the circumstance that's around you. But not only does he give us peace, it says he delivered them from all their enemies. He gives us power. Paul reminded Timothy, but listen, Timothy, God has not given you a spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and a sound mind. And where anxiety should remind me to pray, listen, fear should drive me to faith. Now, faith, we know, comes from the Word of God. I need to get into the Word when I begin to get afraid, when I begin to sense the fear that's coming on me. Listen, even the great Apostle Paul in Acts chapter 18, Jesus comes to him, the Word of God, and he says to him, Paul, do not be afraid. And the Word comforted him. And the Word gave him power. In fact, Jesus told his church, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. These are great benefits. Peace and power. I think I'm choosing this God. Finally, take a look. It's Joshua chapter 21, verse 45. One of my favorite verses in the Bible, not a word failed of any good thing which the Lord had spoken to the house of Israel, all came to pass. Finally, if you're taking note, one of the greatest benefits that we have with our God, we have promises. Listen to this. For all the promises of God in him are yes, in him are amen. Now, this in him, it's a very important phrase. Let me tell you what it's not. Some people, when they go to God in prayer, they say, Lord, I want this, I want this, I want this, I want this, I want this. In Jesus' name, amen. Because Jesus said, whatever you pray in my name, you'll have it. So we use it at the end of our prayers like hocus pocus, abracadabra, boom, give it to me, Jesus. Listen, we've got to remember this is a Jewish book, not an American book. And when Jesus says, when you pray in my name, you have to understand what he's saying. I've mentioned to you before, I'm from the Bahamas. In fact, I just came back, had the chance to go home for a couple of days and see my family and teach at a church, and I'm Bahamian. And when I'm there, I speak Bahamian. I eat Bahamian food. We had grouper and guava duff and things, peas and rice, things you would never know. You need to come to the Bahamas. It's much better there. Now listen, when I went home, I'm a Bahamian. I'm a complete Bahamian. You actually can hear a little bit of the accent coming out of me right now. Listen, that's who I am. It's what defines me. Now, when you're in the Bahamas, we don't care about what you do. Americans, you guys, hello, how are you? What do you do? We say, hello, how are you? Who's your daddy? I want to know where you come from. I want to know your last name, because that name means something to me. And my last name is Lowe, and it meant something to my dad, and it meant something to my grandfather and my great-grandfather. And that's exactly what In Jesus' Name is all about. When you pray, I want you to pray my character. That's my name. I want you to pray my conduct. I want you to pray my behavior. Don't go and pray for this $6 million house when I have said foxes have holes, birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man doesn't have a place to lay down his head. I'm sorry, the faith movement begins to get a little bit sketchy when we pray in Jesus' name. He's not an abracadabra, hocus pocus magic trick. No, the name of Jesus means something. It means that we pray prayers that are in his will. The Levites, when they went to Joshua, they said, give us the land that God commanded Moses. You have promises. Let me tell you what they are. Cast all your cares on him. It's a promise. He cares for you. Jesus said, I came to give you abundant life. Jesus, he makes it very clear that he gives you peace and he gives you power. Don't let the enemy lie to you anymore. These benefits are for the believer. Would you pray with me?